Christians is go read Revelation 2 and 3. Take your time, read through it. Say, this is my relationship with Christ. These churches are my relationship with Christ, and we've been stuck in Philadelphia here, not stuck, but God has blessed us, because there's so much on the relationship of the Philadelphia church with the husband and the bride that is going on in this church, and God is blessing it. And it's not because we're so special things. It's because we honor Him. We were talking about this Friday. If your Christianity is centered around you, your Christianity is wrong. Your Christianity is centered around Jesus Christ and Him alone. And then everything else is a throw-in. The resurrected body, the kingdom of heaven. Everything else is a blessing afterwards. But the relationship that we just saw with Mike and Stephanie take place is the relationship Christ, that God wants with God and His bride, that is the relationship that the Godhead had in the beginning of time. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit loved one another. They're one in unity, and that's what He wants, and that's what you're seeing going on. And as long as we do that, God will be in here. God will bless us and bless this place. We don't care about numbers.
No.
We care about relationship.
Yes.
And bananas. I want to share a blessing with everybody. Anybody see the red sky last night?
Yes.
Anybody see a rainbow? It was like a fluorescent light bulb last night where I'm going, let me see, do I go watch a hockey game or go outside and watch God's creation?
I
ended up watching the hockey game. Did you see the end of the game? Anyway, what God does to you, 30 years ago, I would have walked out and said, that's real nice. The droplets and the evolution and the spinning of the earth and the atmosphere caused this thing. Last night I go out and I'm going, you're unbelievable. God, you turned into this crybaby all of a sudden, where you just see God in everything. So I walk out to look at the red sky, look all around, and there is a rainbow over my house that I felt like I could walk on. And I'm going, you are just... So God said, you're going to share that. The rainbow.
I said, it was never so bright as that.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
When we were hidden in Caledonia, we couldn't see it.
No, we saw it.
I saw it. It was stunning. And I said to Gary, I said, and the rainbow is a sign of hope.
Yes.
Hope.
We still have hope.
Amen.
Here you go. The rainbow is the sign of hope. See, a lot of people say, well, it's God said He would never destroy the planet again. It's a sign of hope.
And I talked to a kid in my class, who's like, there's like someone having a party, and on the there was like a rainbow, and she's like, oh, that's like what people turned it into. Like,
You want to know an interesting thing? God's rainbow has seven colors. Seven. They stole it, and it's six colors.
Really?
Yeah. God's way is better.
Yeah.
And what do they call that? Pride.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? God hates pride. We're not going there. We're not going to let them bother us today. We're going to glorify God. We're coming. I'm going to share a blessing with you. Vail said it. The rainbow is the hope. Ezekiel 1. I want you guys to see it. So we're gonna take our time.
While we're turning,
just
let me interrupt. Asha, that person right there, that's an Indian. She's having a mind. She doesn't want me to say this one. In Hindi, India, it means hope. Asha means hope.
Wow. So she is your only hope.
Spinning out of control. Men don't know if they're men or women, or guys running in races in female race. And the world is spinning out of control. We're the ones with the hope. We're the ones that know the end is coming, and He is going to stand on the Mount of Olives. I'm King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and so forever will be with them. So the blessing of the bow. You see, we're going to look at that. We're just going to shoot bolt through this. Ezekiel.
So the one thing about the rainbow is that you have to have the cleansing of the water to have the rainbow.
Right. Because it takes the refraction. Yeah. And when you get it polluted, you lose some of the refraction, which takes 7 to 6.
Remember what Val said.
Yeah.
The whole. It's the whole. So Ezekiel 1:26. And above the firmament, there were heads like lions and thrones. Am I right here? Yeah. Okay. And the appearance of sapphire stone upon the likeness of the throne. Upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. Who is that?
That's to be Christ.
That's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
On the throne, right? And I saw the color of amber as the appearance of a fire around about within and from the appearance of his loins even upward. From the appearance of his loins even downward, and I saw it was the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. That is the appearance of brightness round about, and the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake. So there's a bow above the throne. It's Christ. Turn to Revelation. Revelation 4:1, and then put a finger at Revelation 10. We're at Revelation 1. Okay, 4:1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard were as it were a trumpet talking with me, saying, come up hither, I will show thee things must be hereafter. Who is that?
John.
Jesus Christ, right?
Well, he's talking to John.
Right. But who's the trumpet talking to him?
Right.
And immediately I was in the spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat upon was to look upon as a jasper and as a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight of them. So he's got a rainbow around his throne, right? Revelation 10:1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet were pillars of fire. So, once again, this angel is Jesus Christ, right? Genesis, so turn to Genesis. And then Matthew 24. Genesis 9 and Matthew 24. So this is what Val's talking about, the hope. 13. Genesis 9:13.
Start with 12, please.
Okay. And God said, yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jess. And God said, this is the token. What is the token? It's a sign. It's a sign. Remember that. It's a sign. This is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. So there's a covenant made. This is before the law was given, which means that there is a covenant ever before the law. What is that covenant? God's grace on mankind. That's unbreakable. Mm-hmm. It's his grace on mankind. Okay. And where am I?
13.
I do set my bow in the cloud. Who's the bow? It's Christ. This is the hope. Here's the token. It's Christ coming. That's our hope. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token, sign, of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature, all flesh, and the waters, there shall be no more flood to destroy all flesh. and the bowl shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every creature, all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the covenant, this is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Is this beautiful? Mm-hmm. Right? Matthew 24. So token is a sign, right? Matthew 24, 3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be? What shall be the sign, token, right, of thy coming and the end of the world? Okay, 24, 30. Then shall appear the sign, token, of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's what we're looking at.
Okay. Now, interesting thing about a rainbow, when you see it on the earth, you see half a rainbow. When you're in the air, and you see a complete circle. So when God sees the covenant of promise from his angle, he sees it completely. When we see the covenant, we only see half.
That's right. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's our hope. There's our token, Jesus Christ coming in the clouds.
On Friday, there was a complete circle around the sun.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we were standing right here in Scottsville.
Wow.
And because the boys asked about it, I know that in the moon at night,
mm-hmm.
if you see three stars
right.
inside of a circle
yeah.
in the moon, that's 3 days till it's going to rain.
Really?
No. But right. I saw nothing it inside the circle
really?
Other than the sun. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Tom, could you just tell me just the references of Matthew
24, 3, and 30. So just one more here. I'll read it again. Revelation 1, 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. So, there's our hope now. When I see that, I turn into some little crybaby, because I know the hope that is coming, and
yeah.
it's Jesus Christ. We were talking about it Friday. It's him.
Yeah.
It's about him. That's what's going on here. This is what the study of Philadelphia is. Our relationship with him. It is about him. Everything else is a throw-in.
Right.
This is what Christianity is. Your relationship with your Savior.
Yeah.
But what you were actually doing was
what?
You call it crybaby. It was worship.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
you know, we were talking about paradoxes Friday. And, you know, how we were just kind of bringing up these different paradoxes. And one of them is God tells you to worship. Right? He tells you, commands you to worship him. So when you worship him, you're blessed.
No. Remember how we're supposed to worship. What did Jesus tell the woman at the well?
Spirit
and
truth.
Spirit and truth.
That's right.
So it's not about holding up your phone with a little light on it.
Yeah.
Or 7
Yeah, that's not a worship game. That's not worship.
Yeah, that's not worship.
That's praising him in songs and spiritual songs and hymns. Worshiping him is... He is lifted up in your heart above everything else in the world. Yeah, I say it all the time. I know I've said it before. But I have people that are there right now that I love. I show them mm-hmm. Asha. They're in my Bible. Their pictures are in my Bible. I want to see him. I want to see him. My mom's there. My dad's there. I will see them. I want to see him. So Philadelphia, so our relationship with our God. Well, like I say, we'll just take our time with this and turn to Revelation 3. We're just taking our time to go through this. And there's a lot of things that I saw here. Last week we saw the key, right? The key of David. That he has the key of David. Then we looked at Isaiah 22, where it says the key of Eliah was given to Eliah. We see him give the key to Peter. What are it's the keys to the kingdom, right? He has them. So it's not that they're just representative. When you read that Eliakim has the key and David has the key, they don't. It's Christ. Those are pictures of Christ, and the key is given to his people. All right, so we looked at that. I think I will finally look at let's just look at it. I'm sure I'll pick it up somewhere. 3:7, and the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, saying, he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David, he that opened it, and no man shut it, and no man opened it. I know thy works before I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Okay, so he's opening and shutting, and he gives the keys. Matthew, I'll just read these. Matthew 16:13 says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Now let's turn there. Matthew 16. You know, what does it mean to open, shut, to bind, and to loose? What does all that mean? We're going to look at it. Because I think I might have a different view of what maybe some think. And I'm not saying you can't rebuke devils. I clearly believe we can. Mm-hmm. Through Christ. Through God. See, I don't think I have the power to rebuke
him. Through him.
That's right. Through him.
So do not. That's right. Play the spirit.
That's right.
Realm. They are much stronger than you.
Absolutely. You can do nothing on your own.
The first thing you do is submit to God.
That's right.
Sanders is human freedom.
That's right. Okay, so Matthew 16. Pick it up at 13. And Jesus, so here's Peter's relationship with Jesus. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. And they said, some that thou art John the Baptist, some said Elias, others said Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said, saith unto them, but whom do ye say that I am? And Peter answered and said, that's right, thou art the Christ, right? The Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, binding and loosing. All right. Look at Luke 11. This is not actually binding and loosing, but these are the keys. What keys? There's a key of knowledge here that's being withheld. Luke 11:45-52. Luke 11:45. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, woe unto you, ye lawyers, for ye lay men with burdens and grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly, ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send the prophets and apostles, and some they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel, that's an A, right, to the blood of Zechariah, that's a Z. I think God knew exactly he was going to translate the Greek Hebrew into English. The old Greek is Alpha and Omega, right? The Hebrew, first and the last. To me, this is evidence that God's saying, I am going to take Those Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, and I'm going to put it into the English language. Okay.
But two or three speak another tongue.
That's right.
And one in church.
That's right.
There you
go. Yeah. That's good. Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I stand to you, it shall be required of this generation. So here it is. Woe unto you, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. So what key of knowledge did they take away? Grace. They forgot grace. Mm-hmm. I mean, he talks about this in, I think it's in Matthew. He says, you know, you put a heavy burden, some Thai cumin, but you forget the way you're in. You forgot grace.
Right.
Right? That's the key of knowledge, God's grace. You lay heavy burdens, laws on people. You need to do this, you need to do that. But you left out the grace. That's the key of knowledge that gets you into the kingdom of heaven, God's grace.
Wasn't it Paul that wrote in Romans the difference between grace and truth? Or the law could not save, or what the law could not do, Christ did?
That's right.
And again, that's what the Hebrews, they were called to do.
That's right.
Was to show not just the law of Moses, but the fullness. And they were supposed to bring that message into the Gentile worlds. But instead, they sealed them off.
That's right. Exactly. What are they leaving out here? Knowledge is a Holy Spirit work.
Yeah.
Right? They're left out the key of knowledge. So if you look at 2 Peter 1, mm-hmm. 2 through 9. Okay. So here it is. Grace and peace. So listen, how many times the word knowledge is used here? It's a Holy Spirit word, and it's applied to grace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. According to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. What does virtue mean? I got it right here. Virtue means the practice of moral duties from sincere love to God and his laws. Law, virtue, and religion is this sense is true religion. So, you know, I say all the time, when people say, well, I don't have religion, I have a relationship. You do have a religion. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're practicing. You're working on it.
That virtue also holds very tightly the fear of the Lord. Because it is a moral excellence.
That's right.
I strive to walk with God in a holy, upright manner.
That's right. I want to be more holy. I want to be more righteous. You know, we talk about this all the time. Like to call ourselves hypocrites. Well, you know, Pastor Fitz, you know what he did? Well, I was worse than him. And Vale, I was worse than Tom. It's like we take pride in beating ourselves up. But the truth is, God is making good people. You are a lot better person than you were yesterday, than you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. He's putting his righteousness on you. We are not hypocrites. A hypocrite who says he's something and he's not.
Right.
He's actually opposite of what he is. At least we're trying. We're trying to be more holy. And I know for me, I'm a better person today than before I ever got saved.
Yes.
Not because of me, because of my relationship.
Well, we're being conformed into the image of Christ.
That's right.
It's a daily changing, continual sanctification, recognizing sin, repenting from sin.
That's right.
Turning to righteousness.
That's right. There's the evidence. There's the fruit. We've been looking at this on Tuesdays, one saved, always saved, the last couple Tuesdays. And what we realize is that verse in there is not in the Bible, one saved, always saved. But the verse you can lose your salvation is also not in the Bible either. And it's somewhere in the middle. You cannot attain to something until it's over. So you actually didn't attain to salvation until your last breath. Mm-hmm. You were predestined for it. You can't get to it until your life is over. Until that time, you always have an opportunity to walk away. His covenant's the same. When you enter a covenant, it's an agreement. It's a not a piece of paper, but it's a law that you are going to agree with each other.
Yes.
But his covenant didn't break. His covenant is always, you abide in me, I will give you my grace. I can break that covenant. And when I break that covenant, he can say, all right, I'm done with you. I'll turn you over to lasciviousness.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't lose what you actually didn't attain to. So it's like, you want to know if you're good to go? Keep abiding. That's it. Keep abiding. So let me move on here. Whereby we are given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, have escaped the corruptions that is in this world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to yourself virtue,
mm-hmm.
and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. You know, you actually got to be around brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Brotherly kind.
Right.
Brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For all these things be in you and abound, they that make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. We've talked about this a lot. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and forgot that he was purged from his old sins. Okay, so.
You know what's interesting is that knowledge. In the second Peter, he's stressing the word knowledge.
Right, absolutely.
It's married to that.
That's right.
In second Peter is remembrance.
Yeah.
He says, I'm bringing you into remembrance of these sins.
That's so, right. And, that, and you know, there's
words in second Peter, mm-hmm. knowledge and remembrance.
And there's the warning there in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see and forgotten. Forgotten. Forgotten.
He's stressing remembrance.
That's right.
Yes.
So. There, see, this is what I notice in my Bible. It does not say you're good to go.
Right.
There's always a warning in your Bible. Make sure you're abiding with me. Make sure you continue with
yes.
me.
Well, forgotten is implying that you once knew.
That's right.
Because you can't forget something you never knew.
Exactly.
Didn't we just go over that the Lord will look upon the bow and remember his covenant?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
He remembers his covenant. And he's looking upon Jesus. He's looking at us, but he's looking upon Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Who Christ is, who we are through Christ, which is the only way that he can see us sinless.
That's right.
It's through that bow,
right.
Was Abraham imputed righteousness when he was Abraham or Abram?
Abram.
So it was even before he just believed God and God imputed that righteousness on him. It's very easy for us. Believe.
Right.
Really believe. Not just, you know, I say I believe, man.
From his old sin.
That's right. And weren't we talking about that on Tuesdays?
But it was his old sin.
That's right.
Where the once saved, always saved, says I'm already purged from my sin that I'm going to do next week.
That's right.
And that's not what it says.
That's right. There's supposed to be a continual breaking down of you into the Lord's feet. But he brings these. He allows sin in your life to break you down to repent from him and to ask for forgiveness.
It's the seeds of his righteousness.
That's right.
If your sin is planted through your confession, then it will die. Then it will bring about his righteousness.
That's right.
We die in the old flesh that we're reborn in his righteousness. It is his righteousness that stands.
You see how it works, Mayor?
I'm sorry.
Stephanie and Mike, are you watching? The one flesh.
I can say that reading right there is the steps that you go through.
Steps.
It is.
See, it's steps.
It is.
This is what we were talking about a couple weeks ago. We're the clay, he's the potter. He's doing things in order. Okay, so 2 Peter 3:17-18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, warning, there's a warning, beware lest ye also be being led away with error of the wicked fall from your own steadfast. There's a warning, okay? But here, look at 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. See, there's always the warning, but there's always the stay on board, stay in line, stay on the straight and narrow path, right? Stay there. All right, so binding and loosing. Turn back to Mark 16 again. No, I'm going to take a different, there might be some people who disagree with me, but the Bible does not tell you to bind devils. It's, when you study binding and being bound, they are actually, the devils are actually binding people, right? We look to loose, what is this talking about, binding and loose? We'll look at this again, and then we'll study this, what this actually means. Now, that being said, I do believe we have power over devils. So I'm not, and maybe we have used that term like that, but we are told Jesus always rebuked a devil or the devil. Even Jude said to the devil, the Lord rebuke you. So this is always the pattern if we feel demonic presence or something like that. The Lord rebuke you or ask the Lord to rebuke you. Yeah, right. So
recorded in Jude.
Yeah, it's in Jude. But then, when you study that, the word rebuke does not mean to bind. It means to restrain. You're restraining the devil. There's not a verse in the Bible that says I can bind a devil. Right? As a matter of fact, what is being, the word bind is actually Christ binding the brokenhearted. He's healing the brokenhearted. But there are things that can be bound. The wicked people are bound and cast into eternal destruction at the end of the world.
He is going to be bound.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And that's during the millennium.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
he is going to be bound the weekend.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. I just want to make sure you realize, I'm not saying that we don't have power over devils. I am not saying that. Okay, so let's just look at it.
There's a pattern in that. Beseeching you, don't think that you can get into a combat with a demon. Because unless you are called by God, and you don't know if you're called by God for that particular thing, they are more than what you think.
That's right.
And it still won't be your power.
Amen.
That's right.
It won't be your power. And if you go in thinking that you're doing this, those faith healers and all that.
I see it, man.
Do we have authority? We have authority over them in our life. Amen? Right? I do believe that when the demon comes against me, I know it. I have the power through the cross of Jesus Christ through his blood to rebuke him out of my life and to stand in the promises of God that he cannot pervert me. Alright? Far as being like an exorcist type of thing, you sprinkle cold water over him and all that stuff.
That's right.
Do not get into that.
That's right.
Please.
That's right. Go ahead, man.
Well, if we were free and we had the authority to do that, versus saying you don't, then we wouldn't be bound basically from birth. We are under bondage of the law of sin.
Right.
So we are already under them when we were born.
That's right.
That's why they call it the adoption. We basically kill that law of sin that lets the desire, and then
unsealed in the Bible. He's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that dwells in you and comes on you is the same Holy Spirit in you. He's not a different God.
Right.
He indwelt people in the Old Testament. It says that the prophets, he indwelt the prophets in the Old Testament. It also says he came on people in the Old Testament. So he's not a different God. And what did David say? Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So you play a role in how this works out. You can walk away even though his covenant might be.
So, are you saying that if you wanted to rebuke Satan or a demon, that you would say, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ?
This is how I would put it. I'd put it the way Michael put it.
Yeah.
The Lord rebuke you.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
The Lord rebuke you.
Even just calling out his name, just Jesus.
Yes.
That's right.
When
yeah.
you say Jesus,
and,
you can literally see evil people praying to
Jesus.
That's right.
I've had experience with them.
Yeah.
My family has too.
Yep.
And I think it's really a lot more simple than that. I just say, Lord, I think there's some unclean
yeah.
spirits and devils around.
Yeah.
Take care of them for
yeah.
me. I don't make a big deal out
yep.
of it. It's not a ritual. It's,
yeah.
And the thing I would think, if that isn't working, that I better do what Jesus said in prayer or fast.
Yeah.
If I can't get rid of them, or not me get rid of them, but
yeah.
if they can't leave because asking God wasn't enough, and I don't know why that wouldn't be, but
yeah.
he did say,
because yeah.
these are apostles.
That's right.
And they couldn't do it.
That's right.
I still think it's a big deal. I don't think
not.
They need a ritual.
Yeah.
They don't need holy water.
Yeah.
Or smoke.
That's right. yeah, you're right. Or just start yelling out. Just
yeah.
like, with a true heart, with a true heart. This is the way I do it. I think we've all dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly. And I know in my life, I've said, Lord, rebuke that spirit. That's it.
Exactly what you said. Lord, rebuke that spirit.
Yeah.
In my early Christian days, I was brought up in a church that said, you have power to tread on serpents. All right? And drink any poisonous thing. And then you can command the demons to come out. Do not do that. I please.
You're getting into a battle.
You're getting into a battle that's much more intense than what
we got Jim that way.
Greater is he that is within us
right.
than
that's
he
right.
in this world. And we got to rest in that, knowing that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We've got to
that's
see
right.
the face of with him.
And
yeah.
there's a reason for wearing
right
the armor.
That's
Lord.
Right.
Amen.
See, this is what we're talking about. It's about him. The me rebuking devils or binding them is about me.
Yeah.
This is about him. And like Doug said, what if he doesn't want that spirit rebuke yet?
Right.
He might want you to pray and fast over it for a deeper reason. He might be doing something else in your life.
Well, that's where good servants go astray.
Yeah.
Jim Jones started on the right path.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I got big, and
yep.
now it's all about me instead of Christ.
Now he's burning.
Thanks. Another example of that with Moses, because the Holy Spirit was using him as an instrument, and then he struck a rock,
mm-hmm.
and water came out.
Yeah.
He didn't give Jesus or God credit for that.
Right.
Must we?
Like.
He said, must we?
But he
definitely
got
yeah.
corrected.
That's right. He was to speak to the rock anyway, because the rock was already struck. You don't strike Christ twice, you strike him once. The second time he was to speak to the rock, which is the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
And God wasn't mad at them.
No.
He misrepresented, but God also knew this because he's going to, Moses could now not cross over Jordan, which is a type of death, and God is going to pluck him back in his body and bring him to be a witness to Jewish people in the last days.
In the
veil.
I know you guys are like, sometimes people don't like music, but I mean, I love music, and there's that one song that goes, Jesus, Jesus, you make the mountains tremble.
Yeah.
That's what we need to remember. He's above our beat.
I love music.
I actually love
the
hymns. It's kind of repetitious, and
yeah.
it just goes, Jesus, Jesus. And sometimes, you know, that's the song I run through my head just
yeah.
to keep all the other stuff back.
Yeah.
You know, like even when you're in a crowd, you're hearing a lot of
yeah.
bad stuff. You know, you
yeah.
just start singing that song in your head. You know.
I love praise music. I'm personally a bluegrass gospel.
I think
that's the
gospel.
That's the
Nothing about amazing grace being done in blue grace.
The Gold City or cathedrals, man, we're doing good.
I love it.
But remember in Acts, there's the two Hebrew men that went to cast out the demon.
Yes. That's right.
And the demon said, "Jesus, I know.
Yep.
Paul, I know. But
yep.
Who are you?"
That's right.
And then they,
you could be getting in over your head.
Yeah.
You could be getting in over your head. Like we said, it's always about Jesus.
It's the joy that was set before him.
That's right.
The joy is to hear his children say, "Abba, Father."
That's right.
When our children are in distress, how does it touch my heart?
Yeah.
When I turn to me and say, "Mom, I don't know what to do."
That's
I don't know what to do. I'm scared.
That's right.
How blessed we are. It is the joy that was set for not on one day where we make a commitment. On every day, until the day we are brought home, we cry out, "Abba, Father."
That's right.
And we love him despite circumstances. So if you keep that message, you remember that's ultimately what he set out to do.
That's
to
right.
Have us turn and love him. We can't do it for a week, a month, 3 months, and then go off. We have to continuously turn to our gracious, heavenly, loving, merciful Father.
That's right. That's right. It's
loving
about him.
Relationship.
Yes. It's about him.
Yes.
Anybody else? Okay, so binding and loosing. So here's my study on it. Turn to Matthew 16 again. I just want to read. I just want to hit those verses. Turn to, and then keep a finger in Matthew 16 there, and then Mark 16 too. So yeah. So just that verse there, 16:18. And I say unto thee, thou Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall be loosed in earth shall be loosened in heaven. So let's chase this binding and loosening. Mark 16. What is he talking about here? That's not what I was looking for. Turn to Matthew. So if you're there in Matthew, turn to Matthew 18:15-20. Moreover, Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and he shall hear thee, and thou hast gained thy brother. And if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or more, Doug brought that up, that about two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it unto the church, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and as a publican. For verily I say unto you that not whosoever, whatsoever, he shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven. And I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, and it shall be done for them in my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, say, there I am in the midst. So what is this being taught? It's about forgiveness. It's about being loosened. Somebody has trespassed against you. You are forgiving them. You are loosening them from their trespass against you. So if these two agree, it is loosened in heaven. And if it's not agreed upon, then that person is bound.
Yeah.
Right? So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about, I mean, what did Jesus say? Well, we'll look at it. Luke 17:14. So you see what's being bound and loosened here? Forgiveness. Trespass. It's your relationship. He forgave us. We're to forgive. If you don't forgive, what did he say?
You will not be forgiven.
There you go.
That's the scripture that was on my heart.
We'll get to it. We will get to it. So Luke 17:4. Here you go. if your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. So here's what we're talking about. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So there you go. What's being loosed here? You're forgiving him. So God is now loosing you of that. But if you don't forgive him, God's not going to forgive you either. You're bound. Okay?
And the apostles had a hard time because it says in the next verse, verse 5, and the apostles said, increase our faith.
That's right.
You know, because God, somebody does the same thing to me 7 times a day.
Yeah.
And ask for forgiveness every time.
Yeah.
I got a problem with that.
You know, I mean, what
did, on record.
You know, what did Jesus say about 7 times?
Yeah.
7 times? 70. Now, this now brings you back to Daniel 9, remember? 77s are determined to bring in righteousness. There's not a coincidence here. This is completeness.
Mm-hmm. Can I just clarify, Tom? So you're saying it's really, best I've understood that scripture, if I understand it correctly. So you're talking about bringing in a brother, somebody who's erring, you bring them together, and it's about what is determined by the body.
That's right.
For that person, whether it's one person,
that's right,
the pastor, they don't hear him.
Yep.
The pastor gets one or two others, they talk to him, does not hear him or her. And then it goes to the church. You're
right.
Saying that's the binding.
That's
the,
right.
It's God's people. That's us.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I mean,
it makes sense. Yeah.
Because I started seeing this, and I'm not saying that people, when they say I bind the devil, you know, I'm not saying it's actually a wrong idea, but the verbiage is wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
The study this word binding and loosen means that God will loose you if you loose somebody with trespass. If you don't, then God's binding you because that person is bound.
Right.
And so the two that agree are the guy that trespassed and the trespassee. Right?
True.
You agree. Forgive
true.
Me. Okay. And yeah, how many times?
Very true.
If you keep sinning against me and keep asking for forgiveness, it's my job, my ability as a Christian to keep forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go. You guys are probably, I see him here, and you see, you hear me rip into John MacArthur or Chuck Missler. I will rip into them. They've never asked me for forgiveness for lying about their teaching. They have to ask for forgiveness in order for you to give it. So to me, that's why I've been, you know, I've criticized for laying into people. No matter what.
The Bible says you have to forgive so that you can be forgiven.
Yeah, we will. We'll look at it.
Doesn't say you have to be asked to forgive.
Right.
Right. Yeah,
you
right.
Just have to
that's
forgive.
Right. I don't have to forgive Nancy Pelosi. She's a devil. She has a devil dwelling within her. I don't have to ask her for forgiveness. She has to ask us, forgive me, I've sinned against you people.
But you still have to forgive her.
Okay. Yeah,
to
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You said it didn't go that you didn't have to. Why
well, it didn't come up.
Okay.
All right. All right,
that's fine.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, God makes it clear that he wants people to try to restore.
That's right. That's good. It's about restoration.
That fits with this, if they repent.
Very good.
And, you know,
yeah, very good.
That's really good.
Okay, so when you look at, so that was Luke 17:14. If you look at Luke 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus, right? So Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom. He was loosed. The rich man, now he's looking to be loosed, and it's too late because he knew, the rich man knew to do right. He knew Lazarus was at his begging. And the Jewish people knew that he was to take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
So he never reached out to Lazarus, and now he's bound.
Right.
And where is he? He's burning. Mm-hmm. Somebody had their hand up. Mike.
Well, I've heard people that profess to be Christians say, you know, it says in our 70 times 7, that's 490. And they'll say something like, well, I ain't no way in the world I can forgive somebody 490 times. But, you know, like if you was asking Christ for forgiveness, I'm sure he'd forgive you 490 times 490.
Yeah, no, it's our conventional.
And what does forgiveness,
forgiveness is basically saying you are not responsible for what is happening to me. I think about when we are offended with somebody, and the lack of forgiveness is holding them accountable for the impact on my life.
They
have no power in my life. Of course I can forgive them, because there's nothing that's going to happen to me that my father has not allowed to happen. So I forgive you because you don't have that power over me. He could forgive Pilate because Pilate didn't have that power over him. He just didn't have it.
That's right.
So forgiveness is just an acknowledgement
that
no human being is going to do to me what my father doesn't want them to do.
And God is allowing this to prove you.
Right.
To test you. To pull you in. What did Stephen say when they were stoning him?
Forgive them.
I see it.
Don't count it against them.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, before you go on, going back to Nancy Pelosi, when I see her and others on television, and I just, bad words actually come to I'm serious.
Well, I'm going to share something with you, because I think I have been criticized over what I've said before. I'm going to share some verses with you. I'm going to share some, because I think we have a, I'll let the Bible speak. You don't have to turn there. We're still studying this. Psalm 139:19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them.
Who hates them?
That's David.
Amen.
That was David saying that. It's not Jesus. It's not Father. It's not Holy Spirit. That's David saying that. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Mm-hmm. See, I have a right towards hatred as long as it's righteous, right? Do not I hate them that hate thee. Am I not grieved at those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them as my enemies. I didn't say it. God said it. Search me, O God, to know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts. I can pray for Pelosi, but I hate their evil deeds.
Their deeds.
Their deeds. That's
what
we just
said. Yeah.
Right.
The deeds.
That's right. I see a devil behind. You can't tell me there is not a devil working behind these people.
They're blind.
That's right. When you call a boy a girl so he can run in a girl's race, you have a devil in you.
Absolutely.
I hope that kind of cleared things up there.
Well, I don't hate an animal because it's caught in a trap. Those politicians, they're caught in a snare, in a trap.
Right. That's right.
Their mindset that way. They've only been brought up in a cage, and in that cage is all of their reality.
That's right.
They're serving a different master.
Well, and God does hate.
Yeah.
I mean, God, when Jacob and Esau were around, he said two nations.
Right.
He didn't just say, I hate Esau. He said two nations.
Right.
But isn't our job to pray for them?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's responsibility of the enemies.
Right. Yeah.
You tell them how to treat your enemies.
Yeah.
They're the worst.
Right.
I don't know Nancy Pelosi. All I see is what CNN shows me. All right? Now, I've seen the evidence of her belief system, and that I strongly disagree with because it's contrary to the Word of God. All right? But as far as the individual, I hope she gets saved.
Yeah.
I hope she goes to heaven.
And pray for them.
That you can walk in and pray for her and care for her soul,
right?
Even though she's doing everything that Satan is calling her to.
That's right. They're clearly veiled. They're clearly led by devils.
To answer Mark's question, what do I do when I'm watching this and the bad words are coming? First of all, ask for forgiveness of what you feel. Second of all, pray for the one that. Boy, I understand that. Mm-hmm.
And third, hate their evil deeds.
Yeah.
Hate them. I have a right to hate their evil deeds.
Right.
I can't stand what I'm watching. Yeah. And this is clearly the work of a satanic movement in this world.
But I want to clarify something. Mark, you're not the only one that wants to say bad words.
Yeah.
That's why I can't watch that anymore because that brings me.
I turn it off.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Well, I was going to say, if there are things that are causing you to
Bonnie's
we have a righteous anger. When someone sins against God, it's a fleshly anger.
Yes. See, very good.
Just like when Jesus went into the temple and overturned the tables.
Righteous anger. That's right. That was
against God.
Right.
That was his righteous
anger. Yeah.
Well, David had the same righteous anger here.
Right.
In Psalm 139, he said,
they hate thee, that they rise
up against thee. See, once again, remove yourself from the equation. It's about him.
Yeah.
That's what upsets me about false teachers, false pastors, wolves in sheep's clothing, that take the word of God and they twist it the way they want to. That's why I lay into that. How dare you? This is God's word. How dare you twist it the way you want it? The narrative is here, and you're going to twist the scriptures however you want to get to that narrative.
Many years ago, Cliff, he had a wife, that she did not, and he knew the man that did it. And Cliff would have been the first one to say, this was not my nature. He was a scrapper. He was a scrapper. He was a physical kind of guy. He went up to that man because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because it was laid on his heart, and he walked up to that man on Main Street in Anaheim and said, I want you to know I forgive you. I know what you did with my wife. I know what has happened here. But I want you to know that Christ forgave me. I forgive you. You are loved.
There you go.
That man was terrified because he was much smaller than Cliff. Terrified, right? But about 4 years later, when I was married to Cliff, that man came to our door, knocked on the door. He had track marks. He came to our door and asked if he could talk to Cliff, who was sleeping because he worked nights. I went in, I got Cliff, I said, this guy is at the door. And he led him to Christ. You learned Christ.
Yeah.
Wow. And Cliff would be the first one to say, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
Because that's not my nature. My nature is to kill him.
I think I would have beat him up first, then gave him.
But that was the Holy Spirit. That's who we
yield to.
If we can yield to that, we can see amazing things in love.
It points to him, Christ. This is what we're talking about. It points to Jesus Christ. I mean, have you seen court sessions where somebody's gotten murdered and the people stand up and they say, we forgive you?
Yeah, well, the Swami family that had their children slaughtered not that long ago.
That's right.
You know, and they actually publicly forgave the family or the man who did it. And then when the mother of the person, the mother of the murderer, the Amish families went and surrounded her at her child's funeral. And they stood the gap. And they loved her, and they ministered to her. That is what the church is supposed to do.
That's right.
I hate no man's flesh, but I hate the flesh in every man.
Yeah, that's right.
All right?
Yeah.
So I guess that's the best way to put
it. And like I said, the way to see it is that I hate the deeds of the wicked.
Yes.
The Lot's righteous soul was vexed living in Sodom.
Yeah.
He hated it. And they even said to him, what do you think you are? You're a soldier? You're coming here, and now you're going to give us the gospel? Get out of here. He hated it. I hate what I see, what's going on.
Yes.
Not only in the world, but especially in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happened?
What's helped me a lot is I quit looking at Nancy Pelosi when I don't look at her through my scope on the gun anymore.
Binding and loosing. Let's continue here at Luke 18:9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, saying, I thank thee, God, that I am not as other men are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smoke upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. So verse 14, which one of these guys were bound and which one was loose? Mm-hmm. You get it?
Yes.
Forgiveness. It's about forgiveness. So let me just, we've brought these verses up before. I'll just fly through them. Matthew 6, 10 through 15. It's about his coming kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, there you go, that's what we just been reading, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not them their trespass, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespass. But to me, the interesting verse about this is, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you don't forgive, God will allow you to be led into this hateful, unregenerative forgiveness that you won't forgive trespass. He will allow that. Mark 11, did you have something?
No, I'm just laughing because of what God's going to have me say.
You know, I was thinking about last week when this thing went haywire and it went in a whole other direction.
Yeah.
And when Doug started teaching, I go, hey, now I know why you did that, right?
Isn't it great?
They were so connected, right?
Yeah. The Holy Spirit grabs the reins and turns you.
Yeah,
it was amazing to me last week, and it's funny to watch it all happen again.
Yeah. Mark 11, 26 to 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray. See, I should desire this relationship. I should desire to forgive.
Amen.
Right? Whatever you desire to pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. When ye stand praying, forgive. And ye, if ye ought, have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So there you go. Matthew 22, 1 through 4. Parable of the wedding feast. Let's look at one. Matthew 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain man which made a marriage unto his son. And he sent forth the servants and called them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I am prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. They made light of it. So they're bound. They just bound themselves. They're being offered to be loosened.
Right.
They're being offered to be forgiven, to be loosened. Come into the marriage. And they say, yeah, you know.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. Okay, they, where am I?
Five.
And they made light of it and went their ways, went to his farm and up to his merchandise. And the remnant took the servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those that were murderers and burned up the city. Okay. Then he said, let's just keep reading. Then saith he to the servants, the wedding is ready, and they which were bidden are not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
For ye therefore go unto the highways, as many as ye shall find bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all that found both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in and saw to see the guests, he saw a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see the picture here? What's being bound, what's being loose? Forgiveness. He forgave us, we are to forgive. This person was invited, he made light of that. So he gets bound and he gets cast into outer darkness. Make sense?
Verse 14, many are called.
Yeah.
Chosen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's huge.
That's huge. Once again, it goes against opposite of what they teach. They teach there's going to be this great big revival. Millions of people are, once we're raptured, all of a sudden the rest of the world's going to get it. You know, and, well, they're gone. Well, where'd they go? Well, we don't know. It must be the rapture that we never heard of before. They don't know about the rapture. We do, right? So now they're going to turn and they have it backwards. Jesus says, many are called, few are chosen. He said, when I return, shall I find faith on the earth? He says there will be a falling away first before he comes, a departing from the faith first. But they have this revival of millions and billions of people during the 70 tribulation, and Christ saying, there's not going to be many. Mm-hmm. I personally think by the time you get to the rapture, there won't be many.
No. I think that God will be able to fit them on a two-wheel bicycle.
Yeah.
It's not going to take much.
It's not. I mean, you're talking about half the planet. When you read Revelation, a quarter planet's killed, then a third. That's half the population. So what are we at, 7 billion, 8 billion? Think of half, 4 billion people in about a 3.5 year period? That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Isn't that COVID?
Yeah, it's a joke.
It's a joke.
Simple.
Yeah. So, and they get this from Revelation 7:9. It says, and I saw in heaven a great multitude, which no man can number, of every tongue, nation, kindred, and tribe.
Right.
Four things. Every. And they're like, well, wait a minute. These are they which came out of, doesn't say the great tribulation. It says great tribulation. So everybody, if Wendy's going through great tribulation, so is Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all the body. So it's everybody. So that verse there talks about everybody being gathered in heaven, and you know what they say? Well, those are the tribulation saints that got saved during the 7 year period.
But there's no Holy Spirit.
But there's no Holy Spirit. And time of the Gentiles got fulfilled at the pre-trib rapture. But yet a great multitude of Gentiles are being saved during this time. And you're like, please explain that. And they make up the word. Tribulation saints. Yeah. Well, saints are saints. Saints are sanctified, set aside. It doesn't matter if you're an Old Testament saint, a New Testament saint, or a tribulation saint. You're a saint. And that's what they do. They chop things up and they divide them all.
Like Kevin alluded to, the way I was taught is that the Holy Spirit leaves with the church in chapter 4.
That's right.
And if the Holy Spirit disappears, then salvation cannot happen.
That's right. Yeah. We just read the verse in Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with the clouds. It doesn't say he comes twice in the clouds. It doesn't say he comes secretly the first time, then he comes in the clouds. He says he cometh in clouds. And as a matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians 4 says we meet him in the air, in the clouds. It doesn't say there's two different events.
Yeah.
So this is where they start to twist the scriptures and they say, well, this is a secret. It's the dog whistle, so we all disappear. You know, and make sure you're not driving. Because your car might hit somebody. This is foolish. Yes.
It's interesting, I think, that it is when our language, it really goes back to our language and redefining words.
Absolutely.
The word religion now becoming a negative word.
Yeah.
The word obey becoming a negative word.
Yeah.
That's only for dogs.
Yep.
That's not for people. The idea of submission has changed. So they take, the language is taken. It's amazing to me. And it kind of starts there. So people with this wrong idea, now they take words out of scripture and redefine
them.
That's
right.
And now people are reading that word but not understanding the definition of that word.
And that's just it. Like God uses language. Did he need to speak the universe? He could have just thought it. He does this for us because that's how he communicates with us. He gives us language, right, to communicate. He uses specific words for specific reasons. He's not, every word in here It's been put there by God for a reason. He's not, I used that word servant, I shouldn't have did that. He put that there because that's what he meant to put there. Yeah, you ever notice sometimes it says Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus?
Yeah.
I don't get it, but that's not a mistake. He does that for a reason. And that's what we said. This is how he teaches mankind. I'm not even talking about the secular world, Wendy. I'm talking about our people that have taken this and twisted the words.
Well, once you start getting into the more modern translations of the Bible, that's exactly what they did.
That's right.
Of the Word of God, and they just changed it a little bit.
Yeah.
It says a different thing, but it means the same thing. No, if it doesn't say the same thing, it doesn't.
You mean like in Genesis 3?
Right, guys that build stuff, if you have a cornerstone and that corner is off by an inch, how far off is it a mile down the road?
Here you go with that cornerstone, and then you don't use that mark anymore.
That's right.
All
right,
so we got the cornerstone that said it's perfect, it's square.
That's right.
But I'm going to not read off of this. I laid a block over here yesterday. I'm going to run off of this block. By the time you come back around to here, you're way.
And that's the Word of God. He's the cornerstone that the church is built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone.
So, what are the words within the church that is being defined by the sovereignty of God?
That's right.
So, I have someone arguing with me, then you don't believe in the sovereignty of God.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I do.
It's right.
But I have
it's
to
here.
Think about what, how am I defining it? Do you know what I?
Yeah, I get it.
Win an
yeah.
argument or not an argument, a debate.
Just by
using the correct definition of the word and clarifying what we're saying. I of course believe in the sovereignty of God. However, that does not mean I don't believe in the free will of man.
That's right.
So that's where that becomes a conflict because the definitions are hijacked. I think.
They're like liberals. They take words and they know how to twist them into the SAFE Act or the Voter Integrity Act. And they're exactly the opposite of what they're saying.
Yes.
How much time we got? Okay, so.
You got a young lady right here. Go ahead.
It's kind of like what Satan did with Eve.
Yeah.
Where the
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
One word.
There's just one word out of place in there, and he took that as a key to unlock sin into all the world.
But what did she do? He took one word and twisted it, and then she took the word and added to it. She added to it. So now it's going haywire, right?
And that's why she does both, because she gives out freely.
That's right.
And then puts in, neither shall you touch it.
That's right. And that's why I hear about some of these preachers and pastors that are teaching you can take the mark of the beast. Well, you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. And I brought this up last week. I can't stand that phrase. We're not talking about babies and bathwater. We're talking about doctrine.
Right.
And if that guy is lying, whether he knows it or not, and I say it all the time, we're just a bunch of nitwits here. I don't know anything, but yet I have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me that has shown me these things, and yet you have a guy up there that's got every PhD, every letter after his name, doctorate, Bible college, and he's saying something the opposite. We have the same Holy Spirit? Is it on purpose? I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if some of these people are wolves in sheep's clothing.
But the argument that I was given for that you can take the mark. I thought I was talking to somebody who would slam dunk agree with me.
Yeah.
No. The sovereignty of God.
Yeah.
That's because God is able to forgive any sin at any time for anybody.
Yeah.
So that when they take the mark of the beast, it's because of the sovereignty of God. That's what I mean. That phrase, that concept is twisted.
So now you don't believe in the sovereignty of God.
Don't you believe that God could forgive any sin of anybody? That's the sovereignty of God. So it sounds like I'm saying, no, I don't agree with the sovereignty.
Yeah, right. See?
That was the argument I was giving.
Yeah.
When you get into that discussion, you can say, like Jesus said, obviously you don't know the scripture.
Because
the scripture says, if you take the mark of the beast, you shall not.
There's no gray area. No, he's over here.
God did not violate his word.
That's right. God is sovereign, and he's also judge and holy. And if he said, don't take it, there's his sovereignty. Do not take it. Lance, you had something. Because it's about me. I don't have to get persecuted. I don't have to go through tribulation. I don't have to suffer martyrdom. It's about me. So they say, well, he's, Curtis Fitz, Tom Wise, stuff. Where are they? Yeah. They're just a bunch of clowns at Caledonia. He went to Bible college. He's written books and made work. He's got to be right. These people have to be wrong.
Yes. Curtis can't even spell books.
Thanks. So if God talks about doctrines of devils,
yes.
So if it is not a doctrine that you find in the scripture, what is it a doctrine of? Devil. And we're afraid to say this because about 90%, I'm not talking about Eastern Orthodox or Catholics or
Baptists.
So we're talking about fundamentalist, Bible-believing people we would associate with on board. They have bought into dispensationalism. And this is the doctrine that you get. Eternal security, once prayed, always saved, pre-trib rapture, all the false doctrine that is going on. And this has been my frustration is, you brought it up a while ago. My wife asks this all the time. Tom, are they wolves in sheep's clothing? Do they know what they're doing? Are they doing? And I just say, how can I have the same Holy Spirit if we're in agreement? But yet I don't agree with that guy that says you can take the mark. So where's the line where I draw?
Mm-hmm. Here. It's the word of God.
Here. This says you cannot. You know, I'll say this. Every other version says the mark is on the right hand or on the forehead. Yeah. What does your King James Bible say?
In.
You don't think that's going to play a big role in this?
Yes.
I guarantee it plays a big role
in
this. Because what do they say? The guys that say that you can take it. Well, God looks on the inside, not the outside.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. I've heard that from just about every single one. We're going to get into this. When we get to look at Antichrist in the system, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to bring in some stuff about all the cliches, all the false teachings by the dispensationalists. All that they're doing is they're not studying this. They didn't do what we just did here. They didn't do that.
Right.
They are regurgitating from John Darby to Clarence Larkin, Tim LaHaye. They're just taking each other's copies and regurgitating them, selling the books. Some have nicer charts than other ones.
Yes.
And laminated. Beautiful. You can put it on your wall. Here's the pre-trib rapture. They're just regurgitating each other. They're not getting it from studying scripture. Something's wrong here.
But even though many believe that, or will, they will be taught that.
Yeah.
They still walk with Christ. They they still, not everybody that believes once they always say, just going to say, okay, I can go sin now. And I'm fine. There's many people, that they believe that once they know it, but they walk daily with Christ.
Well, I'll tell you what I was told years ago, and I got into this discussion with my pastor over, and he said that, because we were debating pre-trip, post-trip, he said, well, pre-trip teaches you to live a godly life because you're a fear that he could appear any moment and take you out. So this way you don't want to be caught in sin. Is that why you're living a godly life? I live a godly life because I want to live for him, for what he's done for me. I'm not afraid of him appearing. He knows what I am and what I've done. I want to live a godly life because I love him. Yes. And I want to live for him.
You love a living God.
Absolutely.
Yes. Romans 8:24-25 is talking about active Christians and having that patience. It says, for we are saved by hope. The hope that is not seen, or what hope is. Not hope, for what a man seeth, doubt he yet hope for. But if we hope for that we see not, then do be patient, wait for it.
Very good. Very good. And like you said, we're the ones, and Wendy, I agree with you, to sit there and say, well, if you don't believe in a post-trib rapture, you're going to burn in hell, or if you believe that. That's not what we're saying. We know we have brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'll say this. And I know Dave will like this, but Daniel 11 talks about those of us that know the truth. Daniel 11 says, as such, 11:32 says, such do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt many by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. So there it is. You don't think it's important to know this? It is very important, because as we move forward, I don't know if it's in our lifetime. It sure seems like it. But if we start moving forward and these things start to happen and their pre-trib rapture starts falling apart, we're the ones who have the answers and are going to be able to explain. And so when Val and Gary move down to Tennessee and the people of Tennessee go, well, we're going to be gone at any minute. And Gary's going to go, no, that's not what the Bible says. I don't think it's a coincidence.
Right.
I really do think that God is going to start using this. It's falling apart.
Right.
Pre-trib is falling apart the farther we move closer to the
second.
But they're also digging their heels in, too. They are, Kevin Petsky, the brutal teaching of Daniel.
Brutal.
But there are, and a lot of them are Baptists, they are digging their heels in, they are still pumping it and pushing it, and they're not moving away from it.
That's pride.
James?
It
is pride, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back to what he was saying, some people are teaching that as long as you don't worship the beast, but then you can take the mark, but Revelation 14:11 says, against that, let me read it. It says, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So,
absolutely.
Even if you receive the mark, you're done.
Well, clearly, Jake, what the Bible teaches that you will worship him first. You will identify with him first.
That was my argument. So
that's right.
Thank you. That was my argument.
It's
clear. It's about taking the mark. It's about bowing down.
That's right.
And I had that argument because of this.
Absolutely. That is clearly, you will identify with him first, then you'll take the mark.
It's not an accident.
It's not an accident. That's right. Yeah. They're not going to knock Gary out. No. Give it to me.
Real quick, a lot of us that are caught up in the computer world, Facebook, all of the prince of the power of the air utensils, we'll call it that. You're already worshiping the beast in a small way. When you pay your cable bill, where's that going to? Right? I mean, just something to think about.
I won't
bow down to that.
Except
on Friday night.
That are more important. I'm just
sitting in front of
them. I'm not trying to argue with that.
I'm telling you,
right.
I've learned some things. Man.
Yeah.
You know, links have been sent to me. It's like my eyes have been opened. I did that on the internet. I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just saying it's...
Yeah.
It's how you use it.
It's
if you can listen to Charity Bible on
yeah,
the internet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's how you use
right.
it. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is, let's face it, though.
It's
I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, it opens doors.
That's right.
It's like a Ouija board won't send you to hell, but it opens doors that will.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we are so thankful for your Son. Thankful that he has seen the depravity of man and come down and saved us from ourselves, Lord. Thank you for sending us your perfect word and enlightening us. Lord, thank you for meeting us here, for blessing us with your Holy Spirit and this unity that is in this church, that it may continue to grow, Father God. We don't care about numbers. We just care about worshiping
Amen.
And serving you because you're worthy of it. And we are just so thankful what you're doing here and that you would open up our eyes and draw us near to you, cause your word to sink down past our feeble brains and into our hearts and enlarge our hearts to draw us even closer and closer with you. This is all about our relationship with you, Lord. And if there's something wrong with it, fix it. Lord, help us. We of ourselves can do nothing. We are, like Wendy said, crying, Daddy, Papa, help us. We are just beggars. We are broken. You're the fixer. We are, Lord, we believe. Help us in our unbelief. Well, Lord, we do have faith. Strengthen our faith. And I do pray for a brother, y'all, as he comes forth, Lord, bless him and feed us the word of God as you did last week and we did it this morning and during the week. Lord, just keep feeding your sheep. We are sheep. We need the shepherd. And thank you for being a good shepherd in Jesus' name.